Our processional hymn this morning is number 521. 521 in our ELW. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church in American Falls, Idaho, this very last Sunday in March. And let us center ourselves on the God who has created us, who has redeemed us, and who sanctifies us still. As we begin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Psalm 588, verses 1 and 4. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of compassion, you welcome the wayward, and you embrace us all with your mercy. By our baptism, clothe us with garments of your grace, and feed us at the table of your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the lessons.
The first reading is from Joshua chapter 5, verse 9 through 12. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt, and so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and roasted grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is 32, and we'll read it responsively. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven,
whose sin is covered.
Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity,
and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
While I kept silent, my body wasted away
through my groaning all day long.
For day and night your hand was heavy upon me.
My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer, Selah.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you,
and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin, Selah.
Therefore, let all who are faithful
offer prayer to you at a time of distress. The rush of mighty waters shall not reach them.
You are a hiding place for me.
You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance, Selah.
I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go.
I will counsel you with my eye upon you.
Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding,
whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you.
Many are the torments of the wicked,
but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord.
Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous.
And shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
The second reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21. For now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer know him in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made the one who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took throughout their country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "Well, how many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Well, now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord. And now may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, as Jesus is workaday ministry is unfolding on his and the 12's and with others, the pilgrimage from Galilee to Jerusalem, 3 years of moving by foot through the 80 or so miles, there is an underlying and a recurring theme of disputation and conflict with, among others, but especially and almost always, the scribes and the Pharisees. This morning's lesson from Luke is no exception, as our opening sentences report that the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling. They were kvetching, they were complaining about the company that Jesus kept and their obvious lack of righteousness. Luke reports that they were, tax collectors and sinners. Now, the Greek word rendered sinners in English is very generic, and so I'm unable to wink, nod, or even hint as to the specific nature of the sin, which was of these sinners. They're sinners, but the the tax collectors. They were tax collectors, a never popular group in most societies, but in Jesus' time and place in history, they really were a particularly loathsome lot, as they wouldn't have been of the hated Roman occupiers, but they were fellow Jews who gladly contracted with the Romans to shake down their fellow countrymen for Roman taxes. And they were also notorious for extracting far, far, far more than was owed by their victims and keeping the surplus for themselves. The whole time, they were being protected by the Roman law enforcement authorities. They were seen, and rightly so, in my opinion, as traitors and parasites and leeches on their own people. Seriously, what is there to love about them? And Jesus Jesus welcomes and eats with them. Meals, shared meals, which were a very big deal in near Middle Eastern cultures, including the Jews, as shared meals always signaled an affinity with the people with whom one reclined and dined. Sinners and parasites. Now the Pharisees and the scribes narrowed their eyes, they corkscrewed their lips, they raised at least one eyebrow, probably two, and they snorted in disgust. Jesus was cavorting outside of their righteousness club. He was demonstrating affinity with the less than. So Jesus told one of his parables, his earthly stories, which opened the blinds, the drapes, and the windows into God's kingdom and God's nature. This morning's well-known parable is often called the parable of the prodigal son. It is perhaps the pearl of Jesus' parables. It inspires visual and dramatic artists generation after generation. In near Middle Eastern tradition, the oldest son, upon the death of the father, would have inherited 2/3 of the estate, as he would also inherit the title of arbitrator and contractor for the family, the one who could and would contract for the family and also settle all disputes within it. The younger would inherit about 1/3. In 21st century American Falls, Idaho, let there be no mistake about the seriousness of the younger son's demand to have his 1/3 right now. First, the father's assets would have been primarily in income-producing land. There were no 401ks, no stocks, no bonds, no fiduciary documents. This was not a capitalist society or culture. It was an agrarian, traditional one. The father and the remaining son would take a perpetual and significant economic hit. Yet the father relented. Secondly, in asking for his inheritance, the son was saying, "Because you're dead to me." Now, all this familial and personal tie would be dissolved between the father and his youngest son. He was saying, in effect, "I am a free agent now, I am self-sufficient, and I am orphaned." Now, this kind of cheek would have exposed both the father and the youngest son to the death penalty. Did you know that? The son, for proposing such a violent and disrespectful dissolution of family ties. And the father also, if he agreed to be so thoroughly disrespected. Our reading of these ancient texts must account for the honor culture out of which they come. lest the impact be lost through the lens of dignity culture, which we in the modern Western world view everything since the Enlightenment and the Reformation. It's a shocking story to Jesus' listeners, utterly shocking. And the Father relents. One can almost hear the gasps. Well, the Son squanders it all away, being self-sufficient and independent. And then he comes to himself while feeding pigs. Keep in mind Jesus' Jewish audience, as I repeat, while feeding pigs. The unkosher of the unkosher of the unkosher. The Son returns to the Father in humiliation. To the Father he has humiliated, believing it possible that perhaps, just perhaps, he could at least deserve to return as a servant. Mark that word, deserve. Think merit. The Father, seeing his Son approaching, humiliates himself even further by running to the boy. The breach of etiquette, the breach of propriety of such an act in an honor culture, such as the listeners knew, would have elicited the equivalent of smelling salts and the clutching of pearls as the Pharisees and the scribes gasp at the vulgarity of Jesus' story. Now, the Father obviously had another wayward son. It turns out he had two. For you see, the older son defies the Father's invitation to join in the subsequent party being held because the younger son had returned. The feasting on fatted calf. The reinstalling of a son come home with robes to cover his raggedness and filth, a signet ring, imparting the dignity of a son. And so the older son defies the Father. He's never left. He's always done what he's supposed to do. But then he plays the card that shows who he really is. He complains that he's never received so much as a goat. And the Father responds essentially with, well, whose fault is that? You never asked. You know that everything you need that I have is yours. His older son wasn't treating his father like a father, but like a manager who owed him by his merit. There's that word again. He hadn't stayed and done his duty out of love of the Father, but for love of self. Remarkable how he's exactly like the younger son, isn't it? A man of merit, a man of independence. So the father in the story has finite resources, but all of them belong to his sons as need arises, dutiful or not. You know, our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, has infinite resources. God is generous, not according to our righteousness or our merit or our duty performed, but according to our need from God's infinite store of grace, mercy, and love. The oldest son didn't love the father any more than the youngest, but the father loves them both. Fatherhood and God's nature are forever enshrined in Jesus' story told this morning. We're not told how the Pharisees and the scribes responded to this story. Luke is a master writer as he reports Jesus, the master storyteller. The story has remained open-ended. And I suppose it would depend on which scribe or which Pharisee we're talking about. Brothers and sisters, not all of the Pharisees and scribes we encounter are confined to Holy Scripture. They're about us. Sadly, let's confess, they are often within us. But the Father's response is love, unmerited love. Our hymn is 608. Let us rise as we are able and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, God from true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Led by the Spirit, let us turn to God in prayer for the church, the world, and all those in need. God of faithful promise, make your church a new creation in Christ. As you reconcile us to yourself, guide us also in your way of reconciliation, that through confession and forgiveness, repentance and reparation, your church may bear witness to your love. God, in your mercy. God of new beginnings, restore balance to the earth. Send rain to places of drought and sunshine to places of flooding, that the produce of the land may again support life. God, in your mercy. God of prodigal grace, unite the nations, fellow members of human family. Give leaders the courage to put aside pride and ego, to cease squandering lives and time, and to work for the well-being of all. God, in your mercy. God of boundless love, receive with open arms any in need of compassion. Embrace all who are far from home or estranged from loved ones, and all who live with regret. Embolden your people to offer and to seek forgiveness. God, in your mercy. God of compassion and healing, give to all who are facing illness wise and caring doctors, nurses, and therapists. Draw close to those who feel far from you or who are suffering in any way, especially those we lift up to you now in our hearts. God, in your mercy. God of radical inclusion, widen human circles to welcome all who are excluded. Bless the work of disability ministries, ministries by and with neurodivergent people, and multicultural and ethnic-specific ministries. That welcome of Jesus be extended to all. God, in your mercy. God of resurrection life, welcome home all who have died, especially those we lift up to you now in our hearts. We thank you for their lives and entrust them into your keeping, where true reconciliation and eternal peace are found. God, in your mercy. Receive the prayers of your people and draw all things together in your love. In the name of Jesus, who leads us from death to life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated for the announcements. Or do we have a children's? Of course, we have a children's sermon.
All righty, so it was spring a couple days this week, right? Warm, my flowers were coming up, and then yesterday we were driving to Twin Falls, and at Rupert it was snowing again. Are we about over that? Mm-hmm. We're not over it, Wyatt? No, we like the snow and the rain. Mm-hmm. Well, we need the snow and the rain, right? Yeah, we do. We really do. I'm going to talk to you about, in the Bible, there's a story about a lot of rain. Who knows what that story is? It's about Noah and the ark. And in the very front of our Bibles, I mean, almost to the very, very front, there's the book of Genesis is the front. But in chapter 8, well, in several of those verses there, you should go home and read that. Because it talks about the wickedness of humankind. What's wickedness? Is what's wicked? Being, not being kind. People sinning, doing all kinds of naughty, breaking the Ten Commandments, huh? Yeah. And so God said to Noah, and I know a song about this, but I won't sing it in front of you. God said to Noah, you need to build a big boat, because I'm going to get rid of all this naughtiness in the world. You believe that? How did he get rid of it?
By building a big boat.
Well, Noah built a big boat, and what did God tell him to do?
Put two of
the animals
away.
Get all the away, yeah. But he got the animals on there. How did he have them two by two? You heard in that song? The animals that came in two by two? Yeah. Put all the animals on. Then it rained for a long, 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 long time. Like a long time. You go home and read it. There's a window about it back there. And then when it quit raining, and the boat kind of started settling on the soil, Noah said, I wonder what's out there. Guess what? Everything got flooded away. And he kept sending the birds out. And he sent the dove out, and when the dove came back with an olive leaf, he knew that there was life out there again. And then God made a promise. You know what that promise is about?
No.
That he would never flood the earth again. And what is that promise? When we look in the sky sometimes after it rains, it's a rainbow. God put that bow in the sky, the rainbow in the sky, promises, and this is his promise, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So look in the first part of your Bibles, in Genesis, it's a lot of chapters, but Mom can help you read through this. And it talks about the big flood and what the animals were doing on the boat and what happened at the end. And God made us that promise. So even though we had one great day for spring break and we had snow again, we know that God promised there will be another great day. Right? Okay. All right. Do we need to do the Ten Commandments? She told me I broke the Ten Commandments today. Yeah, I may have. Yeah, I have. Okay. Yeah, she's probably correct. Grandma does know all the cuss words.
Okay, welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year, it is the fourth Sunday in Lent. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Jared Gehring. Happy birthday this week to Helen Kowarski, Kimmy Roth, Josh Strand, Kagan Swanson, Elizabeth Christian, and then I have an announcement. We got some really exciting stuff coming in April. So look at your April newsletter. It will amaze you. First of all, our bishop, Megan Manlove, will be here. She will be here for Father David will do Palm Sunday, and then Megan will come in the middle of the week. And on Thursday, Maundy Thursday, there's going to be a Maundy Thursday service here at 5 o'clock. And then at 7 o'clock, there are 14 children and two adults who are getting baptized at 7 o'clock that night. People who have kind of been under the radar, and they've come forward now to be baptized. So we'll have that at 7 o'clock. Then on Good Friday, we will have the Good Friday service at 6 o'clock, and then Easter celebration at 10 o'clock on Easter Sunday. After the baptism, there will be a little reception for those people. And then on Easter is confirmation. Five girls have finished their confirmation classes or catechism classes, and they're being confirmed on Easter. So there will also be a reception for them after the Easter service. So we got lots of stuff going on here. Show up for all of it. Okay, I think it says if there's any other announcements, and I feel something behind me, and it makes me nervous when stuff is behind me, but I'm dealing with it. So we'll let Kelly have her announcement.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Tomorrow is Daily Bread from 5:30 to 6:30. The Ruffs are sponsoring us, and we are going to be having a baked potato bar. So please join us for dinner, and if you would like to volunteer, see one of us and let us know. Thanks so much, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, the offering will be collected at this time.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, and ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Almighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. And the people say,
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. This is the table of Jesus Christ. It is he who invites you to receive him this morning in this sacrament. Let it only be he to restrain you from doing so. Everything is prepared. Come forward as you are called by the Lord. The body of Christ given for you. 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 Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest in the name of you this day and forever. Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you, Marla. The body of Christ given for you, Finn. The body of Christ given for you. The blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, rest in this day and forever. Amen. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Lexi, the body of Christ given for you. 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 The body of Christ. Given for you, the body of Christ 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 given for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in all goodness. Let us rise as we're able. And let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift, in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Our recessional out into the world to love and serve is 629. Thank you. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.